Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Boy, oh boy, the franchising world is buzzing today after CNBC aired their show on franchising last night. Now, more on that in a bit. But first, I'd like to thank the IFA's Elisa Harrison for being my guest last week on Franchise Today. Elisa shed some great light on the new leadership at the IFA, new programs coming down the pike, and what to expect at the upcoming IFA convention in Las Vegas. Elisa and I also discussed the IFA's new website, which I might add is really, really good, along with their improved social media presence and, of course, all other things IFA. The segment is available on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Franchise Today Show. Thanks again to the IFA for participating on Franchise Today. We look forward to having the new IFA's or the IFA's new leader, Steve Caldera, on the show as well. We do have a verbal commitment for an appearance, but have yet to firm up an exact date, so we'll be sure to share the same as we're notified. As for the convention itself, IFA 2011, if you have yet to register, please do so today by visiting the Franchise Essentials site at fmdpro.com and click on the IFA 2011 logo, which will take you directly to the IFA convention registration page. And may I also remind everyone to begin using the hashtag IFA2011 when tweeting on Twitter about anything related to the IFA convention. It'll be great. It'll be all about the community, and we'll all be on the same page, and I look forward to seeing everyone in Vegas in February. As this is our last show for 2010, I'd like to again thank my co-producer, Joe Caruso, for all his hard work and insight in putting together fantastic programming, which continues to present Franchise Today as the leader in franchise media. Compelling topics, informative series, and some of the greatest minds in franchising as guests has made Franchise Today increasingly popular, as evident by the significant increase in live and on-demand leadership even since the beginning of this year. Thanks again, Joe, for all you do, for making my job so easy and enjoyable, and thank you for helping to provide the franchise community exposure to franchise best practices. You know, in light of some of the negative information revealed last night on CNBC, it's more important now than ever that we as a community, as an industry, insist on franchise best practices in every aspect of business to ensure success at all levels of franchising. Thanks again, Joe. I look forward to a very exciting 2011 with you on Franchise Today. Well, the most compelling news in franchising is certainly centered around last night's segment on CNBC, Behind the Counter, the Untold Story of Franchising. And from my perspective, I believe the show didn't present any revelation as the title hinted. I don't believe there was anything that even closely related to the untold story. To me, it was just another shot at sensational journalism. Anyway, all that being said, it did present Five Guys Burgers in a fantastic light, actually a spotlight within franchising, maybe even perceived as the model for franchising to follow. And Procter & Gamble's concepts, Tide and Mr. Clean, look good as well, and I think it will help open the public eyes that franchising is more than just fast food. I was also happy to see the Dunkin' Donuts segment shedding a nice light on minority involvement within franchising. Actually, even though I have spent many years working with Indian franchisees, I was not quite aware how deep franchising goes within the Indian community. As for the other concepts discussed on the CNBC show, personally, I don't believe they fared as well. In fairness to them, giving them each an opportunity to release statements and present their side of the story, I'll reserve my comments and thoughts at this time. Well, my guest today, as we discuss social media, the franchise perspective, are well-known franchise executives and social media personalities, Deb Evans and BJ Emerson. Deb Evans is president and CEO at Computer Explorers. Deb Evan. Deb also has been a guest on Franchise Today before and is well-versed on franchising and, of course, social media. My other guest today is B.J. Emerson, Chief Technology Officer at Tasty Delight. As well, B.J. has been a guest on Franchise Today and is extremely knowledgeable about utilizing all aspects of social media within the franchise environment. In addition, Deb and B.J. are co-hosts of the Blog Talk Radio show Social Geek Radio, which airs live every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. Deb, B.J., welcome to Franchise Today.
Hi there, guys.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having us.
I love having both of you on, and it's great having both of you on the show at the same time. And I enjoyed calling into your show, and it gave me a little bit of proof that we probably will not or probably will speak over each other at some time, right?
You know, with me on the show, that is an absolute guarantee.
I'm sure of it. Well, you know, today's show, as I said, is social media franchisor perspective. And as Deb and BJ both are very, very much involved in their franchise organizations, I thought it would be a great topic as we're closing out the year on Franchise Today. And a lot of franchise organizations and, of course, business executives in general are contemplating what to do in the new year, kind of reflecting back on what they've done over the past year. And, of course, you can't be involved in business today without social media smacking you in the face at every turn. I mean, yesterday it was announced that Zuckerberg was presented with Time Magazine's Man of the Year, the youngest billionaire around. Of course, social networking and the movies. It's every place, and certainly 2011 is not going to be any different. So, Deb, let me start with you.
Sure.
Computer Explorers, educational company for children, computers, technology. Social media seems like it would have been a no-brainer to add into the fold of franchisee involvement and franchise support. What type of challenges did you experience getting into it with your franchisees and getting them to embrace social media? How did it all come about?
Well, it really started as the economy was going downhill and our marketing budgets were cut. I needed to find another platform and revenue or platform for marketing, and so I looked at social media. Yes, we are a technology education franchise, and the franchisees totally understand technology. But when we started implementing and throwing out the ideas about social media, they were not as receptive as you might think. I mean, that's a whole learning curve for so many. And you and I and BJ were just talking about how many franchisees and how many franchisors still have not embraced it. But business today involves social media. So it's been a learning curve. We've started, I would say, almost 3 years ago, and little pieces. We had to develop certain policies and procedures and marketing education toolkits for the franchisees, and constant training because it's ever-evolving. I mean, there's always something new coming out in technology as well as in social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know I marvel when I think back at, you know, seeing the toolkit that you prepared for Computer Explorers franchisees, and I think we even discussed that on one of the panels that you were involved in last year. I mean, it really is great. Can you kind of give us a little bit of an overview of what that included and how it was developed?
Sure, and I won't take full credit for that toolkit. It came about with the assistance of many, including the support team here, Lori Windham and everyone else. But we really got the direction from Armin Dietrich, from Jenny Dietrich, who I think we all agree is a social technology guru. When we were starting to embrace social technology and learning on our own, I did need some guidance and some assistance. So with Armin Dietrich's help, we sat down and really did an assessment of, well, what's available, what's the need of computer explorers, where are we, what should we do, and what should we put in place. And being a franchise, I really wanted that toolkit to represent our policies and procedures. It does have how-to in there, you know, how do you start with LinkedIn? How do you use Twitter? How do you use Facebook? Who's your audience? What messages can you post and what messages can you not post? What should that profile look like when you're posting those messages? So it's a fun, easy, simple guide, but if you really look at it, you know, there's some legalese behind it too, that I can take that guide and consider it as part of our operations manuals so that we're covering the legal aspects of social media. Now, it's something that we're upgrading and updating this year. It too has evolved, and there's new things to add and new things that we want the franchisees to be aware of.
You know, as we talk about social media and franchising, we absolutely would be remiss without mentioning Tasty Delight. And as was published yesterday on the Franchise Help blog, and I'm just going to read this and try to get BJ to stop from blushing when I do.
Oh, boy.
It's Tasty Delight, the pioneer of interactive rewards. BJ Emerson of Tasty Delight.
Wait. You changed that. It said grandfather.
No, that Franchise Help says pioneer.
Yeah,
the
missed,
other article
grandfather
said
part.
Grandfather. Oh, you walked right into it, BJ.
Yeah, this one doesn't say grandfather.
Good.
It is that B.J. Emerson of Tasty Delight came up with a revolutionary idea to use social media as currency. They're the first to link such outlets to customer loyalty programs, and now other franchises have followed in their footsteps. Regulars of Tasty Delight probably already use the franchise's Treat Cards Rewards plan that accumulates points with every purchase. And it goes on to say every 50 points are redeemable for a medium cup or cone. Their media program allows customers to register their treat cards online and link them to their social footprints such as Foursquare and Twitter. By doing so, customers will earn extra bonus points if they enable the program to automatically update their Twitter and or Foursquare accounts with every purchase. I mean, that to me is phenomenal. And it really, to me, embraces what it's all about. I mean, not only, give us some thought behind this, especially as social media is still relatively new and not even embraced by everybody at this point.
Well, I think the overall theme, you know, that we've been trying to pursue for the last 3 years in what I call our journey from social negligence to social prominence, I think what we want to do is really reward customers for their digital activity. And how do you put a mechanism in place? How do you use technology to put a mechanism in place for them to be able to do that? So if they are talking about Tasty Delight, well, how do we reward them for that as they're sharing their experience with their friends? So the idea came up when we were doing our loyalty program, and I have to say I can't take full credit for coming up with the idea. There were some other very smart individuals that we work with that came up with that at our point of sale company, and we continue to do some innovative things together. But you know, as far as the network, the Tasty Delight network, we did have to deploy you know, all the technology to support this program, and that's why no one really has reproduced it yet. So just had a great response from our customers and, you know, also for our franchisees. If you think about it, trying to implement this across all locations and getting all the franchisees on the same page so that, you know, customers can use this kind of nationwide program and then the franchisees benefit through this virtual word of mouth that's being automatically generated through their loyalty transactions.
Well, to me, the brilliance of the entire program is the way you integrated various aspects of social media as opposed to it being just two-dimensional by including Twitter, by including Foursquare together. especially as Foursquare, as we know, is relatively new in the realm of, or certainly, you know, comparatively speaking to Facebook. A matter of fact, I'd have to say last year sitting at the IFA convention at one of the discussions where you were on a panel, BJ, I was sitting there and you mentioned Foursquare, and it was the first time I actually had heard it, wrote it down, and now involved and actually have some of my clients involved. So thanks to you. I got on the Foursquare page, and I know on that as well.
Well, and that's a really interesting story that we could take a whole hour to talk about how all that came about. And I was just going back through my email here. August 2009, I think, was the first discussions that started having with them about some different things, which eventually came to pass. But so, yeah, great bunch of guys, and got a good relationship there. You know, so really, really has been a great relationship, and how that kind of unfolded is really a neat story. But yeah, the days are over, though, of being the first to mention Foursquare at a conference. Those days are over for me.
But hopefully,
well, and I know both you and Deb are very involved in IFA activities. I saw both of you on panels last year at the IFA event. I know you both have spoken to various groups. Deb, just recently, last week, you were a moderator at the Franchise Business Network in Philadelphia. I believe St. Jack's, Lane Fisher, and others there were sponsors and presented it. What was the tone in the room with respect to social media and this push into 2011?
Well, let's see. There was probably, I think there was about 70 to 75 attendees. The majority of them were franchisors. And we're familiar with the Franchise Business Network meeting and the structure. So one of the first things that you do after you do announcements is you go around and you introduce yourself and why you're there. And It after a while, I felt like it was like an AA meeting, because it started off with some of my Computer Explorers franchisees were there, and they'd jump up and say, "I tweet," or, "Hey, I just checked into Foursquare, and if we all check in, you know, maybe we'll, you know, get a badge." And then after a while, most of the attendees they'd jump up and they'd say, "I haven't a clue what social technology is and social media and marketing, and I need to go home with some new tips and strategies." I was really, really surprised by the audience how few are involved with social media. I mean, it just really took me by surprise. The panelists were great, Century 21, Goddard School, Philly Pretzel, and then we had an attorney, Tracy Diamond, there from Highland Levin to talk about the legal aspects of social media. But that was surprising to have such a large group attend, and maybe that's why we had such a large attendance, is because they really have not had enough experience with using social media. Some had Facebook pages, some had knew of Twitter, but when you talk about people not knowing of Foursquare, there was a group right there that really looked at us and said, "I don't know what Foursquare is." So
amazing!
I was really pleased.
As I was watching the different things working on the computer, and I saw that Joe Caruso, our co-producer here at Franchise Today, was at the FBN meeting as
yeah.
well. As I saw a Foursquare message pop up, and I said, "Wow, Joe's on Foursquare, and the meeting's underway." And anyway, it's great. But yes, so many within franchising are reluctant, scared, frightful of getting involved in social media. And so let's dive down a little bit into it, because, you know, a lot of people want to know if social media is that silver bullet. They want to know if it's going to help them in a lot of different ways. And the first thing is, what do you say to franchising folks, and I'll open it up to either one of you, what do you say to franchising folks that think social media is free and effortless?
Ooh, I don't know who's saying that. but certainly not effortless. You know, I like to say that all hard work leads to profit, but you know, because it does take a lot of, you know, it does take a lot of time. There's an investment there, but if you do have a low budget and you have some time, you know, certainly making an investment there will pay off. Every relationship I've invested in has I think I've seen a return on. But so I don't know that I would frame it that way in you know, showing someone the opportunity is what we do actually, even in Discovery Days in for Tasty Delight. You know, we'll show them, hey, here's, and especially around the Tasty Delight brand, the conversations that are out there around a given product or a brand, you can certainly go out there and see, if you're listening, what's going on out there. And then so you can, you know, take it from there yourself to say, okay, yes, there's an opportunity here, or no, there's not. And if there's not, and there's no content or conversations around your product or your service, then no, then you shouldn't be investing here at this time anyway. Perhaps revisit it. But we found that there's a lot of great content from customers out there about Tasty Delight. So, you know, we need to be there and answer that social phone, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly the using the words free and effortless obviously are not coming from me, but I've pretty much gotten to the point of being fed up with some people, and specifically within franchising, that have said it's no cost and effortless. And I won't, you know, mention any names, but, you know, just a recent edition of Franchising World in an article, somebody wrote an article, and it said, you know, in the free world of social media, it's just not right. And I agree. Certainly, it takes a tremendous effort. You know, from the standpoint of using social media within franchising, do you feel it's more effective with retail consumers or in franchise lead generation? Or is there a purpose for both?
Well, I think there's a purpose for both. And BJ can talk about retail and brick and mortar, but, you know, for a service brand where we're home based, you know, there's still a lot we can do with social media to build our web presence, and especially with lead generation. One of the things that's been throwing me for a loop, but with a big smile, is I'll have prospect calls today. And they'll say, oh, my God, Deb, you're really out there. And we are. You know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build our social media footprint so that you can find us on YouTube and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Digger Delicious and articles. And not only do they just find us and the mention of the brand and the press releases, but they find videos. And one of the things I was writing about today is that what videos done for lead generation and even for the lead generation of the franchisees themselves is that, you know, today you can go and you can find a video of a franchisee or of a class that we offer, and you really can build that relationship. It's a one to a video right now, but then when I get that prospect call and I'm talking to Lynn or Larry or whoever it is, and they say, wow, I saw you on this video, they feel like they already know me, and we haven't even had that first phone call.
Absolutely, and if it wasn't for social media, as you and I have mentioned several times before, we wouldn't know each other, or at least that was the first opportunity for us to get know each other was, I think it was via Twitter, wasn't it?
Yeah, we just start following each other and having those online conversations, and that really, a lot of folks who do not understand how do you build an online reputation and relationship, because they don't understand, you know, I know so many people in the social technology world that I've never met face-to-face, and it's not a bad thing.
No, it's certainly not a bad thing, and it's something that can be expanded upon. I know walking through the IFA convention last year, so many people said, oh, I know you, and of course then their fingers came close together, but normally I see you in a little picture this big, I said, yeah, you didn't realize there was so much of me beyond that picture.
That's true.
It's true that there's so much of me beyond the picture.
No, I didn't mean that in physical. I meant there's so much
you're
of
alive.
Me in that avatar. I have my sky cam going here, Paul. I can see you. I know what you're talking about. But, yeah, you can build relationships, and social media offers so much. And what BJ and Taste of Delight's doing with Foursquare, I would love to implement that with computer sports, but it's just not – it's not feasible. We're
sure.
In the industry.
And
we don't have retail.
That's something that I often tell franchise clients of mine is that, you know, there needs to be a specific strategy for, you know, every proposition. You also need to look at, you know, the objectives for each, whether it be to generate consumer leads or whether it be to generate franchise leads, and then it has to do with the targets, et cetera, et cetera. And looking at it from a consumer standpoint, something that I read last week, it said, in the very near future, consumers will not wait for products and services to be advertised in what we've known as the traditional sense. Instead, they will find them via social media. BJ, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, certainly they're not calling. Well, they've stopped calling into the help desk. They're just going to go on your Facebook page and post it right there on your wall and start asking the customer service questions right there on your wall for the whole world to see and for you to answer. So, I mean, that's where it's going, and certainly has started here over the last couple of years. That's what happened, and they're going to reach out on Twitter or whatever community they're involved in. You know, that's how they're going to reach out to you, whether it's on just dropping a nice review or maybe not so nice review on Yelp or any of these other you know, networks. You know, they stopped calling into your phone bank of operators. And so now it's time to start thinking about, well, how can we, you know, transition some of those folks into the, you know, the online, you know, the online world there. You know, one of the things that we've seen over the last couple of years here is a real opportunity, and going back to the brick-and-mortar discussion and retailers, because here's the thing now. You have a brand presence, you know, online, and you have a certain you know, type of interaction there, and customers have a certain experience with the brand online. But then when you go into the, you know, if you go into a retail location, there's a real disconnect. There's starting to be a real disconnect between the experience they get in the location versus what they get online. And so, you know, and part of being successful with social media is being able to execute locally, you know, the same type of things that you're doing, you know, online. So let's say you have a customer come in and they're the mayor of your location on Foursquare, and the franchisee maybe they don't know anything about that. They don't even know what Foursquare is. And if you told them you just checked in, they would look at you with a blank stare. Never mind you telling them that you're the mayor of their location. So I mean, it really starts again for us way back in Discovery Day, saying, you know, hey, here's the opportunity. How can we tie these things together? How can we bridge that gap between the virtual realm and the presence that we're providing, even from the parent, you know, the corporate level in the interaction with customers? How can we provide a seamless experience when they walk into the location? And so we're using some different, you know, again, going back to technology, we're using some technologies to really start to bridge that gap, you know, and going back again to the point of sale integration, that's just one part of it. So we have some exciting things coming up in the future related to that, but that's where it's going. That's where the opportunity is going, and to provide that consistent customer experience between the online world and then they walk into your location. And what if you could recognize them as the mayor at point of sale and do something special for them? What would that do for the customer's, you know, experience? It would be over the top. It would be, they would remember that. They would talk about that.
Sure. And we know from reading a lot online and in print publication that Tasty Delight is opening new locations. It's definitely a franchise that's growing. and fairly fast. And we see all the effort within social media, and it is very good, as Franchise Help blog and other blogs have picked up from that article yesterday convey. But shifting gears, because I do know that Tasty Diet is growing in number of locations, how much is social media used within Tasty Delight's franchise development efforts?
Yeah, so part of the strategy is, you know, providing a presence and a position of leadership within these different communities, okay, and we saw early on, of course, everybody knows there's huge opportunity on Facebook, you know, with the number of folks that are on there. And then on Twitter, we saw early on a lot of opportunity there and decided to focus on there early on and had some great results. So I think part of the, when it comes to franchise development, I think part of the strategy is, okay, you're building this community or this following, if you will, within each of these communities. So you have a presence and it's you're out there. People know you're out there. And so you're able to reach not only customers, but you're also reaching potential, franchisees. So many of our existing franchisees were originally customers. So you're really reaching, you know, two different groups at the same time as you're doing all this, you know, social media investment here. And then within that, you know, do we funnel those people into, you know, into our franchise website, and then we go from there with them? Sure, that's certainly an opportunity. Just letting people know that, hey, Tasty Delight is a franchise. You know, we've only been franchising for 3 years, and that's news to some people. And so that's, you know, then they could pass that on to friends, or maybe they're interested themselves. So and then, you know, we certainly can keep in touch with, you know, different prospects over the years here. Maybe they dropped out of the funnel. Maybe they dropped out of the sales process. But we've kept in touch with them through Facebook, perhaps, and maybe they revisit at some point. So I think there's a few different opportunities there for, you know, franchise development. You know, aside from, you know, targeted Facebook ads or Google, you know, AdWords, those kind of things. I mean, those, yes, you could spend money and do it that way, or again, providing this presence and a position of leadership within these channels, then you're really hitting two groups of people there, potentially.
Sure. And Deb, as we know, and we hear this a lot, we've heard it a lot over the past year or so, with the economy being down and franchise sales being less than stellar across the board. A lot of people are looking for social media as being that silver bullet that's going to jumpstart franchise sales. I mean, will social media save franchise sales, in your opinion?
It's not. It will certainly help, because your buyers today are on the web buying. They're searching and they're buying. So you could have the best lead generation practice going, lead generation site, whatever it might be, the best salesperson on your team. But I think ultimately, if that buyer cannot find you on the web somewhere to validate what they're hearing from the lead generation site or the sales site, I think they're going to move to the person they can find on the web. So, you know, Computer Explorers is seeing things change. And somebody asked me the other day, wow, what is it? Is it your new lead generation? Is it your new salesperson? Is it social media? I don't think it's any one of those things. I think it's a combination that we've really trying to build that web and that brand presence. And because we're using all the right tools together, our lead generation is picking up.
Is there anything in specific that you think it might replace, whether it be print, portals, pay-per-click, direct mail, or do you think it's everything is still in place? This is just social media way of pulling it all together.
Well, for us and in our operations piece, it has replaced some of our print I mean, there's still print material that we need to do, whether it's marketing materials and information to the parents and the directors. But, again, going back to the economy, you know, the franchisees discovered that they needed to watch their own budgets, and they were printing a lot of take-home material for their students. You know, this is what we did in our classes today. And then they sat back and they said, well, you know, we can really go green. We can save the economy, we can save the earth, and we can save money as well, and let's make that available online. So, you know, part of our website has a password-protected portal that parents can go to, put their password in, and then maybe pick up some of those materials that we could email to them, and that we had maybe generally had printed, but now it's available online because we're living in a digital world, and we're finding in our industry, you know, that the children that we service are of a younger generation. You know, if we service 3 years old to 12, well, their parents are of a younger generation too, so they understand the digital world mm-hmm. we live in, and that's where they want to find the information. You know, and I think about one time on Twitter. Here we're all tweeting and we're on Twitter, and we saw a tweet that from a parent that said, I can't believe I went to enroll my child, and she specifically named Computer Explorers in a class, and they didn't have online registration available. We saw it. We saw what area she was from, sent it to the franchisee, and the franchisee responded immediately, who actually on Twitter as well, but missed it, and was able to respond, you're absolutely right. I've been working with my shopping cart, getting it on my site, and it's down right now. Tomorrow you can register online. And that parent did register online the very next day. So that's what they're expecting. They're expecting an online presence.
Well, you know, you mentioned buyers finding computer explorers online, and that's fine. But with respect to, you know, franchisors in general, how do franchisors find prospective franchisees within social media? Or is it just going to be that the candidates are going to find the franchisors?
Well, I think it's what your efforts are is, okay, so as a franchisor and I want to find my buyers online, one of the things we're doing right now is working with Career Builder and as our lead generation. And, okay, so they're posting information about Computer Explorers digitally everywhere, and they're the ones who are searching. But, you know, there are franchisors that use LinkedIn heavily to look for their prospects. They've got LinkedIn campaigns going. And then, of course, there you could look via Facebook. I mean, Facebook ads today, they're not free. But, you know, being a Facebook user is free. But you can target your market to, you know, exactly who you're looking for, what geographic area, what the demographics is, you know, what their what age range. If you know your franchise profile and prospect is between the ages of 35 and 50, you can target that Facebook user to place that ad so that they will see that Tasty Delight ad or that Computer Explorers ad. So that's just target marketing and thinking about how to use social media to look for those prospects.
Sure. BJ, is Tasty Delight doing something similar, or are they trying to generate franchise leads directly?
We do a little both. I mean, you know, going back to your question, this is the silver bullet. You know, I think clearly the answer is no there as far as, you know, putting all your hope in one medium here. The, you know, all those others certainly still relevant in, you know, in print and even some of the things we're doing now with, you know, VIP meetings in different or seminars in different markets that we're interested in looking and going into. But clearly there are things that you can do. Even within, you know, in Facebook and targeting, you know, people who are interested in entrepreneurship, you know, those types of things. I know others have done that. And so, I mean, so you could do it both ways. You could go and proactively target folks and look for them, or, you know, again, providing this presence, you know, they're gonna learn about Tasty Light. You know, many times, you know, people have heard about Tasty Light for the first time through these channels. It's because some of their friends, you know, we had some engagement or conversations with them. And that's what we'll do. I mean, we'll take, you know, over the past 3 years here, I've been able to talk to many different people who have moved out of New York and are waiting for Tasty Light to open in whatever city. And so when we do, you know, end up opening in that city, then we can reconnect with those people and allow them or you know, use them to help us spread the word about Tasty Delight coming, and then you get a lot of good discussions. I mean, we've had, you know, our record right now, and we kind of have a little friendly competition going. So, you know, our Scottsdale franchisee, even before he opened his location, he had 600 people on Facebook that, you know, were connected to his page there. And so, you know, so virtually 600 people lining up to, you know, to get the information on opening. And now we have, you know, locations that are posting pictures of when they're under construction and regularly updating everyone as to when they're opening. So, you know, there's a lot of good activity and, again, great opportunity out there as well.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I read a lot about today's bloggers are today's journalists. Recent article in Business Week magazine, I think it was actually the cover was Blogs Will Change Your Business, and an astounding number of 200 million blogs are out there today. And some facts that I've read from that was 54% of bloggers post or tweet daily, and 34% post about products or brands. How important is blogging to the social media effort, especially and specifically within franchising?
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We started blogging a little bit more heavily the last few months. So on our website, we have actually two blog pages. One is the corporate blog, which really limits discussion to education, technology, and the target audience for that particular blog, and it's written by Cindy Perkins, is to the prospects for the franchisees, the parents, the school decision makers, anybody that we're looking to be our next customer or client of our services. Then we also have a blog on the franchise information page, and that is a different target audience. So that audience is we're really writing and looking for and hoping that our franchise prospects will find that page. So we're not talking so much about the details of our classes. It's more information about the corporate, information about the franchisees, information about franchising in itself. So it's a whole different message. So it's different messages and different audiences that we're looking to. Do we blog every day? No. We try to get one blog post in a week. Sometimes we'll have more than one. Depends on what the story is. Yesterday we happened to have a Chicago franchisee who was actually on one of the Chicago news stations, WCIU. I couldn't wait to get that blog posted and that actual video. And it's been crawled many times. So you have to have the right message. I think a lot of people who blog every day, it's just blah, 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 blah. I mean, you have to have something to blog about.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen a lot of that happen. BJ, does Tasty Delight use any type of blogging strategy?
Well, we do have some things that we do on our blog. I think we've gotten a little better here lately. But what we like to do is, You were asking about, you know, bloggers being the new journalists and that sort of thing. The, you know, when we have a new location opening in a certain area, we will many times get contacted by a local blogger that has heard about it, and then they want to connect with the franchisee. So where we can, we push those relationships down to the local level so that, you know, that blogger for that, and maybe they're a food blogger in Houston or whatever, you know, whatever region, that's where we like to make connections with bloggers and spread the word about, you know, what the local franchisee is doing. And a lot of great content comes out of that. So that's kind of one of the things that we've done.
Well, you know, for many franchisors, social media marketing is a random and arbitrary activity that they believe feels good with every tweet, Facebook post, and LinkedIn discussion. But are those really effective tactics, or can they just be considered a slow sprint to a dead end? I hear a chuckle, Deb, so I'm going to turn to you.
I try to be quiet. It goes back to, Paul, what you said from the very beginning. And actually, I think you and I, when we first met in real life, IRL, our topic of discussion was social media. And unless you know what your expectation are is, you, unless you know what your goals are, unless you know what your strategies are, just jumping out there and tweeting and posting something on Facebook and opening up a LinkedIn profile, it's meaningless. It's you have to have a strategy.
I agree, and there is no cookie cutter one size fits all strategy for sure. And certainly within franchising, as I say, it's very different because it's not the same B2B or B2C scenario. Franchising has built-in relationships. You have the interdependency between franchisee and franchisor. There's a lot of different things, and do not try to make it a one-size-fits-all situation. But, you know, I know both of you, as I said at the beginning of the show, are also considered social media personalities, as you also have a Blog Talk radio show, Social Geek Radio. And tell us, how did that start? Why did it start?
BJ,
where is
let's
it going?
Well, BJ, let's ask Paul a question first. So, Paul, Social Geek Radio, who do you think is the geek and who's the social?
I wasn't going to go down that road. Sorry, BJ.
That's all right. Yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, you say this, these personalities. You know, I actually, you know, when I started on Twitter just for Tasty Delight, and I actually waited a year before I even created my own personal account, and then started that. And then, you know, after at some point, you know, people want to talk to, you know, the people that are behind a given brand, and you want to provide some, you know, kind of transparency there, and that's all good, and certainly want to embrace that. You know, and then you find yourself having to manage a personal brand, which, you know, I didn't really anticipate, you know, starting out. It was all about, you know, hey, engaging these customers and all this content that was out there and the opportunity for Tasty Delight to do that and provide customer service or whatever. And so, you know, over the last, again, 3 years, it's been a really interesting journey going, you know, really to now kind of where we're at and managing. And there's all kinds of people that'll give you advice on, you know, managing your personal brand and what you can do for that. You know, we just thought it'd be fun to, you know, to get on and just be able to talk about these things. And, you know, we interview a bunch of different people. We interview authors. We've had some great conversations. And we learn a lot, and we do these Geek It Out segments at the end, which really just takes a deeper dive into the technologies that drive social media. And I call it taking a dip beneath the geek line, if you will. And so, and that's a lot of fun. So I think for us, it's just been a lot of good engagement. And again, you know, connecting with folks, and you know, these interviews have been really educational. We learn a lot. So you kind of stay on the edge. With having to in using that kind of format, if you will.
Yeah,
right, absolutely. I mean, I think it's all about embracing technology, wanting to learn. There has to be a little bit of a passion there for certain, and I imagine that passion shined through when the two of you decided to get involved in Social Geek Radio. Deb, I see you a lot with different blogs. You have your own personal blog as well, so that's right in line with what BJ was saying about personal branding as well as the, you know, corporate branding. It's all important. You know, a lot of our listeners want to think, want to try to look at it that, you know, there's a one-size-fits-all strategy. It's not. It's certainly not effortless. It's definitely not free from a time perspective, but it's also not free from a money perspective when you're looking at it from a brand standpoint and in utilizing social media. Going back to Social Geek Radio, what made the two of you just make the final decision, okay, let's do it?
BJ and I, well, we did the IFA presentation together last year. We were connected online. We had built a strong business relationship online, and actually met for the first time in person at IFA. After IFA, deciding that, and both of us had such a strong passion for not only our brands. I mean, we are so committed to our brands and live it and breathe it and do it 24/7, but found, geez, we still have some time that we can spend with social media. I love the idea of Blog Talk Radio, but I knew that I didn't want to venture into that on my own. I didn't have enough geekiness. So I sat down one day, called BJ, and I said, I got this real crazy idea. How would you like to do Blog Talk Radio? And he said, okay, well, what are your thoughts? What are your objectives? I honestly said to him, I don't really know. I just know I want to do that. I want to dip my toes into that, have some fun with it. We'll give it a try. If it works, we have listeners, fine. If not, I enjoy listening to myself talk. We'll just see how it works. And as he said, I think we're a good team. We've had some good, very good interviews, good guests, that there's enough discussion. And we didn't even know. I think, BJ, you asked me in the beginning, do you think we can, like, do a year's worth of our shows every Thursday night on social media? So, well, we certainly try, and here it is. We started, in May.
Yep.
Yeah, it started in May. We're you know, meet. And this is something, too, that when we were talking about it, since we didn't have a real strong objective either for one of the brands, and we knew what we were trying to do was build our own personal branding. Who is Deb? Who is BJ? What do they represent other than Computer Explorers and Tasty Delight? We decided we had to do that on our own. So it's a little late for BJ on the East Coast. It airs at 9, and for me it's 8 o'clock. So when you talk about it, does it take up some time? And it does. But passion and commitment, it takes time, and I do enjoy it. I have a lot of fun with it, and BJ loves to do a Geek It Out, and honestly, he never tells me what the segment is. I have to go to my computer. I have to go to the URL and just be as surprised as the audience of what the heck he's showing us tonight.
That's nice.
And sometimes he has to tell me 2 or 3 times what the URL is because I'm a little slow, but it's fun.
It certainly that is an enjoyable aspect. I've had the pleasure of listening, especially since it's on Thursday nights. I could put the sound down on the NBA game of the week and
now,
listen.
Now you know you're watching Jersey Shore. There, come on now.
I do.
I know you're watching Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Jersey Shore and Housewives of New Jersey. Love them both. Okay. I got to admit that, you know, funny thing about that, you wouldn't think looking at me that I would love Housewives of New Jersey, the show. And one of the groups that's a client of mine, the Curtain Exchange, are all women and franchisees, and mostly women franchisees. And during the annual conference, we were talking, and all of a sudden it came up about the Housewives of New Jersey, and all of a sudden I had a more captive audience, and actually worked down the line, and our New Jersey franchisee in Ridgewood actually did some of the curtains and design at one of the houses. So I mean, it's interesting how all this just comes into play through, you know, interactivity, through personalities, through communications. But I think the key word that we've thrown around here a lot, especially over the last 15 minutes, is also passion. And it's passion. It's thinking outside that box, and it's not being afraid to be transparent and being out there. There's nothing worse than people that hide behind a certain identity and are something completely different otherwise. So yeah, and it's fun. I think that's what I hear coming out of both of you, is the fun aspect, enjoying it. Hey, we only have so many years on this earth. We might as well enjoy the time we have, right?
Yeah, and you missed one thing though, Paul, and taking a risk. Because social media, you're taking a risk to be out there and be transparent. And because you can't take it back. You know, when something that's posted, whether it's a video or a tweet or a blog post, it's going to be found. And I think that what frightens a lot of people is taking that risk to jump out there and try something different that can go so viral. So
absolutely. And I think the reason why a lot of franchisors, and of course this can be said about business owners in general, really only have two reasons for not getting involved in social media. The first one being fear, as you said, and the second one being a lack of understanding of what it's all about. And it's out there. There's enough information. Go at your own pace. Listen to Social Geek Radio and find a lot of things. I know from a technical standpoint, I love listening to BJ when he comes across to it, geek it out. And like I said, I was paying attention when he mentioned Foursquare, and now I'm actively involved in it and have my clients actively involved in it. With that in mind, BJ, what's new coming down the pike? I mean, is there anything new that's right around the corner or way down the road?
There is, but today I cannot tell you what it is, and I've been teasing Deb for some time.
Yeah.
But there's lots of great platforms coming out, but one in particular that you hear more about in the future. Give me a couple weeks, and I'll be able to share some things with you that you'll find really interesting. But, everyone is raving about location-based marketing, these networks. So lots of good discussion there and opportunity as you see customers starting to use these things and then, brands hopefully reacting or responding as they're using those networks and being there. I think that, I think what you're going to see is this really convergence of the online and offline in a brick-and-mortar location. And so where you see, there's brand wall displays or there's digital displays with social content about that particular location, the tips that are left on Foursquare. So I think what you're going to start seeing is adoption from the venues, taking into account the social activity, things that are going on in the virtual realm. How do we bring that locally so that again, that experience comes together for the customer? Does that make sense? So there's all
yeah.
kinds of technologies that are coming out related to that, and I think that's really going to be, something for franchisors and franchisees to consider to implement, going forward. We're doing some fun things with poll displays at the point of sale where you see tasty tweets, those sorts of things, and it's kind of fun.
It's
fun. Sorry, at the same time, executives want to see some kind of return on this, or at least understand the opportunity. When you're using these different applications and being involved in these communities and spending time there. Yes, we're passionate about it. I think we've demonstrated that we're good at it. But to just go to the executives and say, hey, we're doing this because it's fun, that's probably not going to cut it.
Absolutely. And it is a team effort. And, that's why I always like to remind folks, my co-producer, Joe Caruso of Franchise Today, a lot of times is typing my ear throughout the show. So if you don't like some of my questions or comments, those are Joe's. Not mine.
Oh, Joe, he's called you out, and I know Joe's listening too.
he's definitely listening. It's just, it's always nice having that perspective of the listener. Our time is quickly running out on another great segment of Franchise Today. Deb, BJ, thank you for being my guest again on Franchise Today. Best of luck to both of you in 2011, and happy holidays, and if I don't see you before then, I know I'll be seeing you at the IFA convention in February.
Very good. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Just a reminder that Franchise Today will be off the air through the holidays and will return on Thursday, January 6th. Joe Caruso has some exciting segments on tap for the new year, so please stay tuned for details within Franchise Social Media Circles for scheduling and guest announcements. Happy holidays to all within the franchise community, and I look forward to communicating with as many of you as I can in 2011. Until then, I'm Paul Segretto, wishing you all the best in this great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.